Hello, people. Welcome back to another video by your good friend, Chad Marco. Make sure you guys attack that like button, subscribe, check out my other social media over there. Let's have a conversation. So, this video is going to be a hot take for sure. Very hot take. But it's one I've been thinking about for a while, but I just asked, and you can tell from the title, I just asked, let me cook and let me lay the foundation for what I'm about to say, because I know this is a very controversial take, maybe less so nowadays, but I want to go ahead and put it on record. So the title of this video is Living With Your Parents Is the New MGTOW. I know, but before you cut my head off, let me cook, let me explain myself, right? So we already know what MGTOW is. We know that men going your own way, and then of course there are also like subset groups, Vocels, Monk Mode, Herbivore Males, but in general it's guys who made a conscious decision not to prioritize women and dating and sex and especially getting married, maybe even having kids, things like that, because of not wanting to deal with the issues and stresses that go along with it, et cetera, et cetera. But how is living with your parents the new MGTOW? So let me lay the groundwork here. So I was reading the book 1984 by George Orwell. And you know, 1984 is a book about, well, at the time, it, you know, it takes place in 1984, but when it was written, it was supposed to be like far into the future in this like authoritarian type government where people are very much under tight control by their government. You can't express yourself openly and freely. You know, if you say the wrong thing, you'll be locked up in prison, executed. If you do the wrong thing, you'll be locked up, killed, tortured, whatever the case may be. So just imagine, basically North Korea, right? But there's a part in the book where the main character gets his hand on this book. And this book was supposedly written by the resistance, because apparently there was a resistance movement trying to overthrow the government. And so he got his hands on their book. And so he was reading their book, and there was a part in the book where they were explaining some of the tricks and deceptions and goals of the authoritarian government that they lived under. And one of the things that was talked about in that book stood out to me. And it was when they began to talk about how the government goes out of its way to make sure that the people are stressed and only are able to enjoy a certain level of luxury and peace and freedom in their lives. So, for instance, it talks about how in an environment where there is an excess of food and goods and luxuries, that sort of empowers the people. You know, it gives people time for leisure, time to think, time to read, time to develop, and, you know, in the long run, time to rebel, ultimately. And so one of the government's goals was to make sure that people were only able to enjoy a certain amount of luxury in life. And so one of the things that they would do is, like, they were always trying to stay involved in some sort of war or combat. Like, war was a great way to sort of, like, waste money, waste food, waste goods, you know, things that were being developed in excess that they now could, instead of giving it to the people, invest it into war, putting greater strain on the population. There was also a part in the book where the main character, he has a love interest, and she begins explaining to him, because at the time, apparently they're at war. You know, we were always at war with Eurasia. That's a meme. But she explains to him that, oh, those bombs that are dropping occasionally in the city, killing people and destroying things, those are more than likely dropped by our own government. Like, they're dropping the bombs on us and making it seem like it's another country, but it's really them. And that was like profound to the main character, because he never thought about that. But why do I bring this up? Because to me, it's undeniable that the governments around the world are practicing something very similar. And it's like, when I look at certain things, like the structure of our taxes, for instance, like, you got to think, like, why is it like in my state, for like, we have a sales tax, but then in other states, they don't have a sales tax. So why do we have a sales tax and somebody else doesn't? Do we need that sales tax? Who's to say that such and such income bracket should be taxed at a, say, 5% rate versus a 10% rate? And then you have things like this new bullshit called the carbon tax, which is supposed to be a tax to sort of mitigate, pollution or climate change, things like that. But again, who decides that? Who says that carbon tax should be 8%, 5%, or it should exist at all? It's the government. And so there are so many different aspects of our lives that we can look at and say, why do we have to pay this? Why do we have to do this? Why does this cause that? You know, you look at like the cost of eggs, and they're going up out of nowhere. And then I find out, oh, there were like hundreds of millions of chickens that were killed not too long ago. And it's like, oh, what was the excuse for that? And so you start connecting these dots and realizing again that a lot of the things and stresses that we have put on us are done intentionally. And I feel like in recent years, one of the best examples of this is the immigration crisis, because this is something that was obviously and blatantly done on purpose. And when you look at how it's been done in the majority of first world countries throughout the world, this is an obvious global agenda. And when you bring in all these illegal immigrants, now you have to compete with them for jobs. You're competing with them for women. Some of them are criminals. They're committing crimes. They're raping women. They're killing people. They're stealing things. So now we have, again, another problem that has been dumped on our doorsteps by our own government. Then you look at these wars that have been sprouting up here and there. You know, I can't get out of my mind that picture of Joe Biden, you know, when he approved of the long range missiles to be used in Ukraine against Russia. And that was super serious, because that could have escalated towards World War III. That was very serious. And that fucking sinister, guilty look on his face, I can't get that shit out of my mind. And then recently, you know, we saw the Speaker of the House, what's his name, Mike something, you know, he was on the news talking about, you know, making sure that young men can't get, what was it, Medicaid or something like that. Oh, but Medicaid is for women or struggling moms, right? So again, now it's going to be on men to pay for the mistakes of women. And again, good strategy there, right? Cater to women, you know, a bigger voter base and whatnot, right? That's a safe bet, you know, but I see what he was doing. So I see stuff like this all the time. That's my point. And so how does this connect to MGTOW? So why did men go MGTOW in the first place? Because we started to notice that there was a change in women. There was a change in women because of feminism, and there was a change in how we dealt with women, furthermore, because of, you know, laws like divorce laws, how the courts tend to favor women. You know, women have gained a lot of power and leverage over men, especially in the realm of relationships nowadays. And that's why a lot of guys feel like, you know, it's better just not even deal with it, right? I'll just figure out how to be happy alone. I'll do pay for play. I'll be a trick. I'll just pay for it, keep it moving. But I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to be code approaching 100 women, 500 women. I'm not going to make them the priority because it's not worth it anymore because of the changes in our society. Now, of course, there are plenty of people who don't like MGTOWs, the idea of it and whatnot. So if you're not into that, if you can't relate to it, then none of this is going to make sense to you anyway. But that was the general idea of MGTOW, was that things have changed. Therefore, we have to make an adjustment with it because we can't just keep beating our head against the wall because it's just not going to work like that. You know, it'll work for some people, but not for all. But when I look at it, that the general idea and concept of MGTOW does not just apply to women. I think it really applies to different aspects of life. And now we're talking about the financial. And so what I've noticed as far as like the self-improvement world, you know, you got different, plenty of guys out there, you know, the Andrew Tates and Fresh and Fit, rest in peace, Kevin Samuels, one of my favorite CGA. You know, you have a lot of guys out there that are giving men advice on not just women, but finances and how to make money and things like that. But one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of the advice that is given is actually very similar to the advice that's given to men that a lot of those same people would disagree with. So what I'm saying is this. When you look at the red pill in the manosphere and in the self-improvement world, when it comes to women, a lot of these guys, they co-sign MGTOW more or less, right? Not recognizing that things have changed, so you have to change your approach. Just beating your head against the wall is not going to get you anywhere. But I noticed that when it comes to finances, it's not the same. It's that same mentality of beating your head against the wall, right? Grind set mindset, Sigma mindset, right? Make 100K, make 200K, you know, get your passport, travel. And again, these are great, like encouraging men to do these things. I'm not saying that it's bad, but what I'm saying is that a lot of the advice that is given to men in terms of money does not account for the changes in our society and our government inventing all these imaginary problems and putting, you know, raising taxes, inventing taxes, immigration, the rent going up, food. It doesn't account for this. Like to me, when I see stuff like that, again, it's, I know they mean well, and it's a lot of good advice, but if you really think about it, what's the difference between that and the people who are saying, oh, just cold approach 100 women, cold approach 500 women. I don't care about divorce laws. I don't care. Who cares if the laws didn't change? Get married anyway, bitch. Make babies. To me, it's the same shit. You're not accounting for the changes in society and the what our governments are doing intentionally to make our lives harder. And so, as I realized this, and think about this, it's like, what can men do to make life easier for themselves financially? The obvious one is living with your parents. Now, I get it. That don't sound cool. That don't sound fun, right? And see, this is the thing, right? The reason why going your own way when it comes to women sounds cool is like you can spin that as something that's empowering or something, right? Because it's like, I don't need these bitches. I don't need these hoes. Like the concept of finding happiness and being okay without having to deal with women, like you can make that look cool. Even for women, you have women, you know, I can do bad all by myself. So there is something like somewhat glamorous about being able to find happiness when you're single and not having to deal with relationships. But if you really think about it, the fact that men felt the need to go their own way or to adopt these red pill principles, to become Triggs, Passport Bros. None of this shit is good. It's not. We found a way to adapt and find happiness in our own way. But if you really think about it, it's not a good thing. There's nothing good about the fact that society and the culture and women have changed so much that men feel like we're better off being single. That's not good. But you can spin it to look that way because it sounds empowering. But when you're talking about living with your parents, that's a harder sell, right? You can't make that look cool. You can't make that sound cool because in a sense, it really is going backwards from where we were at one point where it was much easier to afford to live on your own. But like I said, society, culture, government, all these things have changed to make these things harder for people. So again, me, I'm just like, okay, well, how do we adjust? Well, if you want to save money, you can do that living with your fucking parents. Don't sound cool, but it works. And what I'm saying now is not as controversial as it would have been a few years ago, because there are more people who have kind of been like, fuck it, I'm trying to save money. I'm not trying to be out here struggling. And you can look at, like, if you look online, you can find plenty of people who will attest to this, who would say, you know, man, I stayed with my parents for a few more years than what would be deemed appropriate, but I was able to save $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. I was able to put a down payment on a house. I was able to get a car. I was able to do this, do that. I helped them pay the house off. Shit. And so you can see how with that, using that strategy, people have been able to adapt to the changes in our society. But I still feel like we're at that point where people are still trying to shame. And I guess in a sense, people will always do that. But I'm putting a stamp on it right now. Living with your parents is the new MGTOW. It's not glamorous. It's not going to make you look cool, but it's an adaptation to the changes in our society. The same way MGTOW in terms of not getting married, not prioritizing sex and women, the same way that is an adaptation. It's not good in a sense that the fact that we're even here, but it's where we are. And going back to, again, the Sigma grind set mindset, 100K, again, great. But, and this is where it gets kind of tricky, right? Because I never want to discourage people or to encourage people to sell themselves short in terms of their potential and what they can do. Because, look, I got the same goals written on my wall, right? But the thing about me is that I always make sure that there's a backup, right? Like, yeah, I want to make 100K or even more a year. I would love to become a successful streamer and all that, but what if it don't work out that way? Well, live with my mom, working a job that I have where I don't make a lot of money, but I don't got kids, no girl, I can save money. So over time, I can accumulate some financial security in my life, right? And so when you look at these self-improvement gurus, these big figures in the manosphere, red pill, even outside of that, you look at their audience. Be realistic. How many of them are going to live up to the standard that they are trying to set for their audience? Whether it's Andrew Tate and you got to get a Bugatti, you got to get the passport, get on the plane, right? Or Myron Gaines, Coach Greg Adams, Kevin Samuels, Alpha Male Strategy, whoever your favorite self-improvement guy is, Sigma Grind Set motherfuckers, right? How many of the people watching them are going to actually live up to that standard? It's going to be the minority. It's not going to be that many. They're going to live. And it'll vary too. Some guys will get halfway there, a quarter there, 10%, whatever. And even sometimes just getting somewhat there is enough. But again, like, the reason why I'm thinking like this is because I feel like there needs to be a strategy that the average guy can utilize. everybody's not going to have the kind of work ethic, the talent, the intelligence to pull off what these guys that we look up to have been able to do. Everybody ain't got it. You know, I know when Ziz said we're all going to make it, that sounds great, but it's not true. Everybody's not going to make it. And that's why I look at it like, well, okay, for those guys that aren't going to get to us that level, what can they do? Because somebody got to be the bus driver. Somebody got to work at Lowe's. Somebody got to be the janitor. Somebody got to work in the Amazon. Somebody got to do it. So if you're going to be that guy, what can you do to make life easier for yourself as society changes, as the government becomes more and more corrupt, raising taxes, creating taxes, flooding the countries with illegal immigrants, poisoning the food, killing the animals? What can you do, Mr. Average Joe, John Smith? What can you do? Because everybody's not going to be Bronset Mindset, two Bugattis. It's just not. So what can they do? And that's why I say living with your parents is the new MGTOW. And I'm looking at the things that we all have easy control over, I should say. It's a lot easier to not have kids, to not get married, to not take on those burdens, those stresses. It's a lot easier to live with your parents than it is to make 100K, to move out, to move into a middle-class neighborhood, to do the... And again, I almost hate to say it because I don't want to put negativity and pessimism, because this isn't don't believe that you can do that. Set the goal. But I'm just saying, as you strive for those things, you know, walk or stand on a different foundation, right? Okay, I'm going for it, but shit, I can't afford to have kids right now. I can't afford to have a woman right now. I can't afford to move out right now. I can save more and do more in the circumstances I'm in now. And that's all I'm saying. That's why I say living with your parents is the new MGTOW. But I have to reiterate, going your own way was never, if you really think about it, it was never a good thing in terms of where we are in our society. It's actually kind of fucked up. It's great that we figured it out. It's great that we found a way, but it's still fucked up. Like, who would wish for these circumstances? Who would wish that relationships between men and women got so bad that we started to feel like we're better off without each other? That's not good, but it's where we are. Same thing, you know, who would have thought that society and the economy and the world we live in would become so stressful and so expensive that we've essentially gone backwards from where people could easily afford to move out. So now it's like, well, I got to stay with my parents for a couple more years just to save money, just put a down payment on, you know. And my situation is actually pretty good, because even though I'm living with my mom, living with my mama, my mom already told me that I'm lined up to inherit the house, you know, whenever she passes away. Hopefully that's 100 years from now. But you know, so again, like, when you think about it, you can actually work these situations to your benefit. So have that conversation. If you do choose that, have that conversation with your parents. Is your house paid off, or are they still paying it off? Can you help them pay it off? Who's going to get the house when they pass away? It could be you. The same thing in my situation. My mom told me, when I'm gone, you get the house. So I got to make sure that I'm responsible enough and man enough to take over when my mom is not here. But if you think about it, I got a house that's like 70% paid for, lined up for me. So why the fuck am I move out? But these are the type of, you know, situations that you can have if you think outside the box of what society is just telling you to do. Move out, have 3 babies, get married. No. Again, that can work for some people, though. I don't want to be too negative, because there are people who can still find the love of their life and get married and move out and do everything the traditional way. So if you want to go for that, go for that. I'm just saying, for the layman out there, the average Joe, the average guys who just want to make life easier for yourself, you know, this is just a potential strategy. But yeah, living with your parents in my book is the new MGTOW. But I think this goes beyond women and finances too. I think, like, honestly, my generation, us, we can't afford to smoke weed. We can't afford to drink. We can't afford, right? Like, it's not even just about that. Like, I think that we got to cut a lot of unnecessary shit out of our lives because things are getting harder and harder and the world is becoming more treacherous. And we just don't got time for a lot of bullshit. You know, that's why I don't drink. I stopped smoking weed, you know, so when I talk about going your own way, it can apply to a lot of things. Like you can go your own way in terms of not getting into drinking or doing recreational drugs or smoking cigarettes. You can go your own way by eating healthier. Go your own way by, you know, taking a different approach to saving money, your finances. Again, it could be moving in with roommates or your brother or staying with your family. Going your own way when it comes to women, you know, postponing having kids. You don't have to be like, I'm never going to have kids, but you can wait until you're in a better situation as opposed to making women the priority just because you're in your early 20s or some shit like that. But again, man, it's up to every individual to live their life according to what they want to. So I'm not trying to tell anybody what they can do. I'm just saying, as someone who's always identified with the MGTOW movement, I think that it's kind of doing ourselves a disservice to only look at it in terms of women. I think it applies to different aspects of life. And when I look at the financial side of it, I feel like living with your parents is just as MGTOW as saying, fuck them bitches. But I hope you guys enjoyed that video and I will see you in the next. So, Janet.